is great when it works. It is terrible when it doesn't work. And I was telling Sarah on our way home from work the other day, we're preparing at school for mid-month-long of writing assessments that are done on the computer, which means they're calling me in and out of rooms. And the other day, I turned off my radio so they couldn't find me. We found 5 minutes after I turned off my radio, one of the principals texted me and said, "We need you in this room." So whatever you turn off, there is a way now to get in touch with you. Used to, you could drop off the grid. Now they can track you down anywhere. When I speak, one of the hardest things for me now to come up with isn't a topic. It's a top 10 list or some type of humor. So I'm using new ones, but off of something that Sarah said most people enjoyed from the past. And I'll lead you into it with a little picture. And it took Sarah a little bit to get it at first. Yeah, these are terrible puns, and they are probably going to be pretty terrible. So we're going back with our top 10 list of top 10 biblical puns. What do they call elders in Germany? This one's a pretty easy one to start off with. German shepherds. Where is the first tennis match mentioned in the Bible? When Joseph served in Pharaoh's court. Number 8. Need an ark? I know a guy. Number 7. How does Moses make tea? He brews it. Continuing on with number 6. Why did Samson try to avoid arguing with Delilah? He didn't want to split hairs. Where was the first baseball game in the Bible? In the beginning. Eve stole first. Adam stole second. Cain struck out Abel. And everything went dead. Yeah, technology.
What happened?
I have no clue. It's still up here, it's just not up here. Let me try to go back.
The projector. No?
There it goes back. Oh, we're
starting this.
Yeah, I did that for Sean, so you feel better. Okay. Number 4. Who is the best babysitter mentioned in the Bible? David, he rocked Goliath to sleep. Number 3. Which area of Palestine was especially wealthy? The area around Jordan. The banks were always overflowing. Number 2. What was the first thing Adam and Eve did after being expelled from the garden? They really raised Cain. And number 1, Jacob had so many sons that he color-coded them all to remember their names. Except for Joseph. He was color-coated. Alright. This morning, what I kind of wanted to talk about. Can you handle it? Don't know where that title came from. I was just trying to think of what to say, and then that came out. And it builds off of a very common phrase. God will not give you more than you can handle. It's a common phrase. We've all heard it. It's a highly debated phrase. Some people love it. Some people hate it. It is one of those phrases that in a discussion can get a lot of people going. So this morning I want to look at the verse where this idea comes from. Or one of the verses. There are many verses. 1 Corinthians 10, starting in verse, well, for now we're just going to read verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Lots of times in classes and things like that, and I know Rich mentions it a lot when he teaches, one of the things that we kind of have to do, and on this one, I personally think it's pretty evident, but it's always helpful to go back and take it into context. And really, for 1 Corinthians, you really need to take the whole book into context, but we kind of be like trying to get through Ephesians on Wednesday night. We might just not get through it. So we're just going to look through a few verses. 1 Corinthians 10, we'll start in verse 6. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. As we look at a textual analysis of this verse, the section is about temptation. There's a big difference between temptation and some of the different trials that we will undertake in life. When it comes to temptation, he will provide escape so that we will not fall into sin. The truth of the matter is, he will give us more than we can handle. Looking at 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 10. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Some things that I want to point out in this verse. Paul tells us that they were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. We've all been there. Trials hit us in very different ways. Trials hit us in very different extremes. What is a trial for you may not be a trial for me, and vice versa, but we all face things where at some point in life, we are so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despair of life itself. But it goes on to say, that's to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God. On him, we set our hope. Sometimes when we face burdens, sometimes we're burdened to the point where we just don't know how we're going to be able to withstand it. We have a very, very challenging decision to make. And really, we have one of two options. And the one that we should choose is this thought: God doesn't give you more than he can handle. It's one of the lessons that's so difficult for us to understand. And it's so difficult for us in the church even, in comforting other people. Lots of times, we take a very Job's friend-like approach, where when things happen, sometimes we think, well, what are you doing to make that happen? You know, what's your life really like that these things are going on? But the fact of the matter is, that old phrase, Bad things happen to good people. And as Christians, we're not protected from bad things happening. In fact, oftentimes the Bible will tell us that as Christians, we'll face some of the hardest challenges. It's to get us to understand that God doesn't give you more than He can handle. It's one of the hardest lessons personally for my life. It's one of those hardest challenges that as I get older, as I've hit my mid-30s now, and I'm trying to build a little thing called wisdom, and it's very challenging to build wisdom, is understanding that God is in control. Because even as Christians, we like to think that we're in control. That's why we like verses. That's why we like ideas that God's not going to give us more than we can handle. But the fact of the matter is, God wants to give us more than we can handle so that we stop depending on ourselves and start depending on Him. Continuing in 2 Corinthians, this time we're going to jump to chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Some lessons to pull away. We will suffer, and we will suffer sometimes more than we can handle. But we have to keep in mind that God's grace is sufficient. We use words in the world today like hope. Like right now, I hope it snows tonight. So I really hope I don't have to go to school tomorrow. I'll just be honest. I really hope. But it's a different type of hope. And we get so used to thinking of things that way, that I hope this happens, I hope that happens, that we forget what our hope is and our eternal hope. And as we go through life, as we face calamities, as we face trials, as we face persecutions, as we face hardships, one of the best gifts is to remember that Christ came for us. He gave His life so that we could be reunited with our Father, and our hope is one day that we will be home with Him in glory. And at that point in time, all trials, all persecutions, all hardships, all the terrible things that you have gone through will be taken from you, and your home forever will be with Him in heaven. The difficult part of this is it's done by faith. By faith, we have to trust Him and keep our look towards our eternal goal. By faith. And that's where it ends for so many people. Not just people of the world, but that's where it ends for so many of our brothers and sisters. We reach a point where we don't think we can go on. Where we even become angry. And we don't understand why God is allowing things to happen. And we turn away from our faith. We may not be able to handle it. But God can. We have to give Him control. The glorious thing about it, too, is God does give us help. I think there's a very big reason why the church is designed the way it is. I think it's a very big reason why we are a family, why we are brothers and sisters, is because when we reach these hardships, sometimes we need others to carry us along. to this morning? Have you given God control of your life? Have you made the decision that God is in control? That God has a plan for each and every one of us. And you're willing by faith to believe that plan, to understand that plan, to desire that plan, and to follow that plan. You made the decision to put on Christ in baptism. To have your sins washed away and to arise a new creature. If you've done those things, have you followed through? We all struggle, but if you're struggling this morning and you need help, then we will sing an invitation song for those that desire the relationship with God, for those who need prayers and support. But more than that, any of these things happen at any point in time. The invitation is always open. Any of the people sitting in this room would be happy to hear what's on your heart, would be happy to pray with you. Would be happy to meet you in the middle of the night. If you have any need, please come as together we stand as we sing. Take my life.